This is a spiritual reading being given for Tim Kaltenbach on Saturday, the 23rd of July 2022, in Victoria, Australia, by John Rawson. And Tim, we've had a prior discussion about how best to pronounce your surname. But we've decided to honour you with the pronunciation of our favourite composer. So I hope that sits well with you.
You're hilarious.
We stand within the hall of memory. We hold within our hands the Book of the Soul. And the Book of the Soul, John, is a metaphor. Tim. Is a metaphor. It represents the incarnations of the soul since it first entered into the physical consciousness so many thousands of years ago. Now each soul brings with it different characteristics, and those characteristics manifest through time. They are, in Plato's terminology, if you like, they are the eternal from the intelligible world, whereas the manifestation in time is the expression in the intellectual world. So that these characteristics will display themselves in different incarnations. And the characteristics of the soul are depicted. And the first characteristic is the colour of the cover of the book. And I'm having trouble actually coming up with one colour. I think the best way of describing this would be to say that at the centre of the cover, like a sort of a circle, is a very light yellow. I would call it a primrose yellow. And then that fades into blues at the edge. So that there are two colours that are strongly expressed within the incarnations. The first is the light yellow, which is to do with intellect, thinking, using the mind, understanding, perception. But the other colour is to do with spirit, and to having to, having an awareness from incarnation to incarnation that spirit is, I think I'll use the term, pressing upon you. And it's a bit of a conflict which will be resolved in different ways in different incarnations, as we shall perhaps see. Then the second characteristic is a name. The soul has a name. And the name that your soul was given, or chose, I'm not sure which, was the eagle. And below the name is an eagle in flight. And then below that again, in a circle, is a view of a pyramid. Now, the eagle is the bird that flies highest, so therefore, within each life there is a challenge. And the soul sets you at this challenge, and that is to fly above, or to rise above, the emotions, the angers, the energies of everyday life, so to speak. The picture in the centre is very interesting. It's a pyramid. And first of all, that indicates that in the Egyptian period, you had a very important incarnation, which no doubt will relate to today. But it also indicates knowledge. And as I see it, the pyramid has no doorway. So therefore, there is a conundrum. This storehouse of knowledge is set before you, but you have to discover the way in. And that's an energy or a task that will be set before you in many lives also. We now open the Book of the Soul, and on the right hand side we see the soul depicting itself as it is, as it works in this incarnation, and it depicts itself in the aura colours. The colours as we see them are as follows. First, light red. Second, purple. Then outside this are yellows, not light yellows, but how can I put it? Yellows with a bit of brown in them, perhaps. Slightly darker shades of yellow, not the lovely primrose yellow that was on the cover of the Book of the Soul. Inside the head, though, is a much lighter yellow. So yellow must be important for you. From the shoulders, oranges. And around the head, blues, the vortex into the head is green, quite an intense green, and the vortex indicates energies that are entering into your mind and your thinking at present, and they will, these energies will manifest in your life in the years to come, because it will change your thinking to some extent. And that is probably happening at the moment. Greens around the hands. Browns around the feet and the lower legs. Deeper reds around the gonads and the adrenals. The heart, the throat. The cosmic colours as we see them at present, and the cosmic colours are not part of the aura, they are, as it were, gifts from the cosmos, the spiritual worlds, to help you within your life in the next 5 to 7 years. And as we see them, the colour above the head is a very light purple. I would call it a lilac. And below the feet is sort of an orange red. within the aura are certain images as well. On the left, a man catching a fish. In the middle, we see you clad in a sort of a white robe with a bishop's mitre on your head. And on the right is a person digging a channel. It's an irrigation channel so that water can flow. The symbol of the over-self as we see it at present is as follows. And I should explain that the symbol of the over-self is a communication from the divine self, the real self, the Christ self, the I am, whatever you would like to call it. And it's the aspect of ourselves which cannot be perceived by any clairvoyant, because it is the most sacred essence of a human being. But it very obligingly communicates something to us through the picture that it displays. And as I see it, the picture of the image is about 2 to 3 inches above the head. It's very close. And it is a golden chalice, a little golden chalice, covered with a cloth and a pattern. And descending towards it from a very great height is an eagle. So that's the way the soul is choosing to paint itself for us at present. We will return in just a moment and articulate some of the meanings of these soul communications. But before we do that, on the left-hand side of the book for the current incarnation, the soul has sent us a message. And it represents the soul's purpose in this incarnation. And the purpose is encapsulated in the title. As I see it, it shows itself in a little verse. And the verse is entitled, "To Fly Like the Eagle." And the verse reads, "Do not go back. Do not return. The eagle flies in widening, ever-widening circles." The higher you rise, the more you understand, the greater the forgiveness.
Okay.
I'll reread the verse so that it stands before us. Do not return. Do not go back. The eagle flies in ever-widening circles. The higher you rise, the more you understand, the greater the forgiveness. Now we will return to this message from the soul at the end of the reading, when it sums up for us what this life is all about. First colour. The colours, by the way, are strong and vibrant. there is a strong upward spiral within the aura, which indicates that the individual is on a spiritual path. That doesn't is not necessarily the same as the religious path, by the way. And we will come to that amazing experience that you had when you became a Catholic priest, and that took up years and years of your life. But we're going to begin with the colour red. It's light red, which is excellent. It indicates strong life energies. It indicates a lightness within one's being, which is good because the surrounding purples can make you very serious as well. But the inner self, the natural way that you relate to people, it's an ease in networking, an ease in talking to people, and it means that you can get along with other people. You don't always get along with other people, who does? But it indicates that you have the ability to network, to run a business, perhaps, although you haven't quite got the yellows in the right place for that. A bit of an entrepreneur as well. You can initiate, start new things, but beginning and initiating is not your role in this incarnation. Your role rather is to respond, and to respond to change. And if you try and push things too far beyond where they're ready to go, then it creates a frustration and even a bitterness within self. So that when you have light red as the first colour, it's really indicates that the soul desires to find and work with the rhythms of life. And by the way, 60 should be a very good period for you. And as we get older, more doors open for us in spiritual terms. The first criterion is that we need to arrive at our 60s with a sort of feeling of completion, that we've done what we set out to do. That doesn't mean it's the end of life, far from it, but it means that spirit, or soul if you like, is now ready to take on, or for you to take on, new tasks. And in the 60s, these new tasks that involve a challenge, and the challenge is, can we change? Can we move away from old forms of thinking, from old ways of seeing ourselves? Can we embrace new modalities, new understandings? And the question that the 60s asks of us is, can we adapt? The soul, in fact spirit, measures the success of its progress by how much we can adapt within our lives. It's adaptation. The ability to accept change and transform is the measure of the spiritual being. So we are tested on this in the 60s. And if we pass this challenge, if we accept change, if we realize that the world is wider than we might have once thought, that we might have other jobs, other work to do in our life, then the 70s should become a period of fulfillment and completion. If we don't embrace change in the 60s, then what the 70s become is a period of stultification, concretization. We become more and more the old person, Whereas spirit always needs to renew, always needs to change, always needs to be like the phoenix, arrive at a culmination and let the old go, perhaps not as spectacularly as the phoenix, but move on to the next cycle of life. The light red is connected first to an incarnation in Egypt. And this seems to have been a very important existence, sort of like a keynote address in your reincarnations, in your incarnations. And here we see you as a priest, and not dissimilar to the way that you're presenting today in the physical form. You've shaved your head because that was part of the priesthood. You're wearing, as I see it, a garment that's a bit like a chasuble, with symbols on the back. It's white with symbols on the back and front in gold. And you trying to see where this comes. I think it's about 200 or 300 years BC. So as we see you, you're in charge of the library, a library. I think that's what you'd call it. But you're more than that. You're the master of initiation there. That is, it's your task to initiate other souls into the higher consciousness through the rites and mysteries of the temple. And it's interesting that the road to initiation is not a road into light, or at least not at first, it's a road into darkness. And so you would conduct the souls into the darkness, physical darkness, and then they would have to find the inner light within themselves. Now, at this time, Egypt is being conquered by, I think, the Greeks. And the priests decided to close the temples, or at least close some of the most sacred mysteries. And you ordered your priests to close different schools, so that no longer would initiation be possible, at least not in the same way. And it's interesting there that you had a connection with your husband John, and he was responsible for closing down one of the schools. It's possible, in fact it's already happened, that this particular school, this particular knowledge will be found again. It would be located probably underground, almost within the paws of the Sphinx. And although it might be located, the powers that be might prevent it from being reopened until what it contains is destroyed. I guess we'll have to wait and see about that one. Now, I'm going to move to the second colour, the purple. The purples is the colour of mediation. It's a combination of red and blue. And red is energy, blue is spirit. So the purple indicates that individual who can unite within themselves the energy of the world, physical existence, and unite it with spiritual understanding. People who have purple in the aura are often, they become mediators in some form or another. That can indicate that you're a negotiator. You can be someone who takes clients and operates on behalf of them with authorities like statutory bodies, state bodies, federal bodies, so that it indicates that you facilitate transactions between a person, an individual, or an organization, and a wider community, or national or state interests. So it puts you in there as a mediator. Now the interesting thing is that purple's often found in the aura of a priest and indicates very frequently that that person has had a life, at least one, and probably quite a few as a priest. And we saw the priest in the temple. In that role, you were an archivist. It was your work to look after the secret writings. And you were also a director and a guide, a mentor. And you should be good at all these things. The yellows, which you've got, indicate a very good intellect, ability to think, debate, argue, handle details. And for some reason, I don't know what connection this is, you should be involved in gardening and working with living plants and living organisms. But let's come back to the purple. The purple relates first to an incarnation in the 19th century where yes, in this incarnation you were a priest and the incarnation was in the south of France, associated there with a diocese, I think it's a diocese is the correct term, of Lyon. You were associated there with the bishop. And in that incarnation, you didn't really have a parish. You worked with the bishop to handle his legal situations, legal work. That's what it was. And you often had to handle difficult moral and legal situations where a priest had broken their vows, or a nun or a monk had broken their vows, perhaps the nun had become pregnant, and you had to do the arrangements behind the scenes to make sure that was all kept quiet and there wasn't an outrage in the community, and you would put these people in places where they, well, at least the priest, you would put in a diocese or a parish somewhere where they couldn't get into mischief anymore. And the nuns, well, you managed to get a lot of them married off to local farmers or local tradesmen, so that you were involved a lot in negotiation and drawing up contracts in that incarnation. And the priestly quality was manifested through the fact that you mediated between the church and these people. But the purple relates further back. And here we have an incarnation in the 15th century. You're in Rome here, and you're the son of a cardinal. Of course, you're the illegitimate son, because the cardinal was obviously not married. But although you were brought up as a very minor member of the household, you were brought up as part of a servant family in the palace. The cardinal took a bit of a shine to you. You were a smart boy. You actually had you had desires, that's not right, intentions. You were attracted to the theatre in that incarnation, and you wanted to write you wanted to write plays, performances, dramatic productions. But the cardinal didn't want you out in the community, so he pushed you to go into the into the priesthood, sent you off to the university in Padua. Is that a place? I think it's a city in Italy. Great university. And you were very aggro about it. You didn't want to do that. But you did enjoy being a student. You did enjoy studying. You studied philosophy. You studied law. You studied theology. And you got into fights with the other students. And in one of these fights, you were killed. A sword ran you through the heart. Look after that heart. It's been hurt once. But you died before either your aspirations or the plans of the cardinal could be fulfilled for you. Now, when one dies before a life is completed, which happened in this case, sometimes a life ends before the soul had actually planned it to end. This was a sort of an accident. And there is an energy contained in that life. And that energy never was actualized, so it is a sort of a potential energy, physics would call potential energy. It's like, as Aristotle would say, it's like a rock on a mountain top, over top of a cliff. It has potential energy that is not actualized until you roll that rock off the cliff. Now, that rock in that incarnation was the purpose of the incarnation, which was to become a priest and to follow actually in the footsteps of the cardinal. But because it was stopped, that rock never rolled down the cliff. So you can see that when you come into incarnation again, you need to, at some stage, that rock needs to roll. And it, that energy was not activated in the 19th century life, but it was activated in your 20th century incarnation. And here, the soul, before it came in, decided it had to express this energy. So to speak, when it got to an age when it could, it tipped that rock over the edge. And once the rock went over the edge, there's not much you could do about it. And you got swept up into this plan, this pattern of becoming a priest. I don't think there would be a sense of vocation in that, because you were playing out what the soul had intended from a previous incarnation. And you might well have enjoyed aspects of it. You might have enjoyed the study. I'm sure that you're very good with your mind and your thinking. And you might have enjoyed certain aspects. You might have enjoyed working with people. But did you have a spiritual understanding of what you were doing? Did you have a feeling of fulfillment? I don't think so. In fact, I think you've said that in what you wrote to us. Now, that the energy of that old incarnation would have been completed about the age of 30. Because it's at the age of 30 that the soul really comes in and takes charge. And although we experience karma during the earlier years of our lives, normally speaking, that karma is a chance to play out in full certain aspects of karma from previous incarnations that were begun but not completed, so that it's a time of completion. Now, the purpose of this incarnation wasn't to become a Catholic priest, but I'm sure you've worked that out already, but rather to engage with life in a very real way. You couldn't have a life within an organization which didn't empower you to have a vocation, to have a career, to have a family, to have relationships. This is an incarnation to express all of those aspects of your personality. Nevertheless, the purple is there, and it indicates the capacity to express yourself as a priest, but perhaps not in a very conventional manner, to work within an institution. The yellows around the purple, Not strong yellows, but they are there nevertheless, indicate that your life probably has been bounded by intellectual activity, by planning, logistics, organization, by sorting things out with people, helping people sort things out, writing up contracts, if you like, making sure that there's a fit between goals and ambitions and what's achievable. There's an aspect of you that's had to be very grounded in this incarnation. indicates being able to make money through your own efforts and to create a home and a career. These have been important. Incarnation in China in the 4th century, where we see you here again in a male body. You're holding an abacus and you are calculating, working things out. There you are a trader. You trade in furs. And also in herbs. Married there, and you also had a concubine, and that person who, that soul who was a concubine in that incarnation, has probably been a partner, a much more important partner in this life, indicates that partnership should be a very important energy within this current incarnation, and it's been very significant that you engage in a long-term relationship, in a marriage, in order that both of you, both members of the partnership, that both of you can rise and experience a greater vision. I haven't quite got a metaphor for this, but it's as though within the partnership one of you pushes one way and then the other person pushes back the other way, and then with your left hand you push back and you give with your right hand, and it's this pushing and giving that should work for you in a relationship. Incarnation in Tibet in the 13th century. Here we see you again in a male body. Lots of incarnation in male bodies, I'm not sure why that is. But here we see you studying yoga, or the Tibetan form of it, with the same teacher, interestingly enough, who was the bishop in the 19th century incarnation. And here you lived an extremely frugal life. You were extremely skinny in that life. Did lots of meditation, chanting, singing, which is interesting. The I'm not sure how that's coming out in this incarnation, but it indicates that there's not a great veil between you and spirit, and sometimes you've had incarnations where the intensity of your spiritual experience has eaten you up. And so in this incarnation there is a desire and a need to put a veil, to put a separation between you and spirit. incarnation in Germany in the 15th century, again in a male body, and again another religious incarnation, where you were a monk in the city of Heidelberg, or a monastery associated with Heidelberg, and you fasted so much there, you searched constantly for vision, for revelation, and you fasted so much that you died, you killed yourself, committed a sort of an unconscious suicide. And I suspect that you would be not inclined to prioritize spirit to the extent that it overtakes other priorities within life. You should be able to enjoy your food in this incarnation, even if you're very specific about food. You should have an appreciation of beautiful food, beautiful cooking. The oranges. The oranges are the colours that flow from the shoulders. They are, if you like to think of it poetically, the embryos of the wings that we may have one day if we ever become angels. For most of us that's a very long way away, but the orange is the colour that lifts us up. And orange is the colour, I suppose, of the philosopher. It's a combination of yellow and orange. It indicates a unity of emotion and thinking. At least it should be a unity. But very often people with orange strong in the aura flip from one thing to another. They can be strong emotional energies, and then they can rationalize the emotional response through the intellect and the thinking. Very often people with orange in that position train their thought, train their thinking through study. And it can mean that in later life also that you'll continue that training in perhaps in different ways. Now, the orange also indicates a connection with the spirit of Christ. You were not in incarnation at the time of Christ, but you were amongst the cloud of witnesses that came together at the crucifixion to experience the death of Christ on the cross and to empower the resurrection of the transformed body. And so, when a soul is associated with such a spiritual event, then echoes of that event become woven into the tapestry of the soul. And that's probably just as well, because you had a prior life in Greece about the 4th century BC, where you wrote plays, scandalous plays. They ridiculed, satirized all the notable people in your environment. You stung the rich and the famous and the people who thought well of themselves, so much so that they had you assassinated one night as you walked home from the theatre. This group of young men rushed at you and stabbed you with short swords, and as you lay dying, you decided that perhaps it wasn't such a good idea to be destructive, so publicly destructive of other souls. Which is interesting because probably you could really be a very effective critic. You could use your tongue as a weapon. But this incarnation, you would probably hold on to that to a great extent, because it's you've seen once that can be a very destructive expression. But we'll return to the incarnation at the death of Christ, where you were in spirit, and from that time onwards, your soul incarnated from incarnation to incarnation with that spark of Christ that wanted to be fanned, wanted to come into greater expression from life to life. And that's one of the reasons why you seem to have had a lot of religious, spiritual incarnations. Religious incarnations do not equate with spirituality, as we've seen in the 20th century and 21st century. Religion and spirituality are often in opposition. You have a very real appreciation of what's right, of what's true. You are skeptical. Wouldn't say you have to have things proven. Well, yes, you do have to have things proven to your satisfaction, at least demonstrated to your satisfaction, before you will accept something. And that's not a bad attribute to have, of course. Test every spirit, says the New Testament puts it. So be skeptical. Test the waters. And yet, as you reach the late 60s and as you enter into the 70s and progress towards the 80s, which can be an absolute culmination in life, something is calling you home. Spirit, if you can imagine this, is calling you home. The yellows within the head indicate a very clear mind, able to think, should have a very good memory, and able to, what do you say this, argue logically or understand logically, able to deal with research, almost a philosophical bent, not quite, but almost. And yet, what's entering into consciousness is the colour green. And green, this is a very unexpected colour, it's not usual to see it there. Green, first of all, represents change. So that there is a change within the thinking coming about in the next 7 years. The thinking will become more heart-centred because green is the colour of the heart. Perhaps closer, perhaps more artistic. It's interesting that you had another life in Greece. This is about the 5th century. Associated, no, 6th century, century earlier, associated here with the school of Pythagoras, and here you were in a female body and you sang, had an amazing voice, and you wrote chants, you wrote songs, melodies that the Pythagoreans would chant. You worked with the temples, you were a singer in the temples. Broke your vow of celibacy there, we see. as a Pythagorean, you're supposed to remain chaste for a long period of time, and you broke that vow, and so you were in the end cast out of the brotherhood. No wonder in later incarnations you had to suffer the consequences of that, breaking that vow, by not being able to be part of the inner spiritual,
what could I call it?
The inner spiritual teachings. But you are part of the Christ consciousness. You're part of the Temple of the Sun in Atlantis. And again, as I see you in a female body, you would sing before the altar, and your singing would open the way for the greater spirits to enter into the consciousness of those there. Now, I have no idea, Tim, whether you sing in this life, but I would highly recommend singing in the next few years. Music, make music more a part of your life. There should be a part of you that relates strongly to song, to dance, to rhythm. I hear that you live in Nashville, Tennessee, which I believe is one of the musical capitals of the US. So you're well placed to associate and immerse yourself in music. And the more that you allow music to come into your consciousness, the more the mind starts being able to think in a heart-centered way. And it's through the heart that consciousness is raised. Not through the intellect, funnily enough, but through the heart. The lilacs above the head, the cosmic colours, indicate a return in some way, shape, size or form of the priesthood into your life. And the orange, red, below the feet indicates an integration of the Christ spirit within your path in a very practical and expressive way. It's as though, if I can put it like this, that the priesthood can return to you, but it will return to you in a way that is completely different from anything that you might have experienced in the past, because the past is the past. And that brings me to the verse. And the title of the verse was "To Fly Like the Eagle." And that is what the soul desires. It desires to fly, to lift up, to embrace and express itself in love, personal love, but love of country, love of one's fellow human beings. And the first lines of the verse say, "Do not look back," or "Do not go back," "Do not return." In other words, don't go back to the old ways. And you've seen this in your life, where you, without thinking really, you just became a priest. That was going back, that was looking back, returning to the past. You didn't need to do that. The eagle flies in ever-widening circles. And I've indicated that the eagle is part of your very soul. And the eagle represents that part of us which aims to fly higher, which aims for greater and greater goals. It's a very idealistic part. People who have the eagle as a force within self are restless. They won't settle for second best. they have to achieve. The higher you fly, the more you understand. And the more you understand, the more you forgive. So that this life has been a lot about forgiveness. And I expect that you've had a lot to forgive in this incarnation. There's a lot of energy in this past, just in this life, that looks as though it's very difficult to handle. Perhaps abuse. Perhaps discrimination. Perhaps family members or people that should have been supportive pushing you away or being antagonistic. And there have been waves in your life where you've had to rise above the pettiness of the environment and of the people around you and find that strength to fly like the eagle. And beyond that, because perhaps you can see, you can understand, and to understand is to forgive, that in the forgiveness of the past comes the release and the ability to fly higher. The images within the aura very quickly. I'm just going to give you the The one on the left I see is you working in a garden, which is from the past, the ability to bring beauty into the world. The one I see for you in the present, clothed in the bishop robes, the bishop indicates the blessing, if you like, of the spiritual worlds upon your thinking and upon your activity. And I think that your activities will become more idealistic. I know, that's probably not the right word. But it's as though your sphere of influence will widen. And you will be part of a movement or different movements to safeguard rights or to fight for the rights of other souls. As though there's a darkness coming, and that you are called with many other souls to stand as a light in that darkness and say, this is not right. We know better. And in the future is very ordinary symbols. You're digging an irrigation trench, and the purpose of an irrigation trench is to bring water in. And it's as though you're going to be working with people who've been blocked off from opportunity, who've been who've had an obstacle put in their way of what they need within their lives. And I can see working more, perhaps for non-profit organisations, but for people who have a need, humanitarian need, that is going to bring out the compassion within you. And green, which is coming into you, is the colour of compassion. Then the symbol of the over-self. And this is a beautiful gold chalice. It has a pattern on it. The chalice represents your priesthood. Okay, but it's covered. In other words, your priesthood has, in a sense, been covered over. Covered over by energies from the past, by understandings from the past, by concepts. And yet the eagle now is descending. It's a long way away, but it is descending. And the eagle represents here the Spirit of God. And when it enters into the chalice, which represents yourself, then the purpose of your life will be completed. And the fullness of purpose will embrace your heart, your mind, your thinking, your actions. and it will touch many other souls. Not many of us have a chance to become complete and fulfilled in this life. But when one person embraces completion, then it empowers other souls to accept who they are and that they too can become perfect. That would be a great task. So shall it be.